Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
The wait is finally over. Football is back. You might not be at the game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. Of course, we have the NBA Finals underway tonight. The Heat versus the Lakers. This is an interesting one to bet on. The Heat for the series are plus 270. The Lakers for the series, minus 325. I think if you're going to bet on this series, it's a no-brainer to take the Heat. I pretty much feel like this series is a toss-up. I know a lot of people are very much pro Lakers here because they're a public team, but at plus 270 for a series, I feel like it's pretty close to a toss up. That means if you bet $100, you could win 270. If you bet on the Lakers, you'd have to bet 325 just to get 100 back. So obviously the Heat are the better betting choice as far as this NBA series goes. So, but don't get mad at me if you lose your money. You never know. So, from game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any place online. And there's always the online casino as well. It never closes. So head to betonline.ag today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Again, that's betonline.ag and sign up today. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another version of Bill Roten on Sports. I'm here in an undisclosed location, upstate New York. You know, it's just going to be more and more, depending on how this stuff turns out in November, it's going to be more and more undisclosed. You don't know where I am, Jack. You know, but I'm here and here with my great co-host and friend, the great Jamal Murphy, holding it down. What's going on, Jamal?
What's up, Bill? Like you said, holding it down in Brooklyn, New York. Nice day out. Can't complain.
Yeah, we're here with the great Greg Oden. Yeah, great Greg Oden, man. One of the, probably the most spectacular college players ever. I mean, really. And a great interview. Oden was one of the brightest guys, man. Always a pleasure to talk to because he was always, you know, he was not just basketball. He could talk about a lot of different things. So he's always somebody who's just very a delight to talk with as a player, and particularly now. So, yeah. I mean, he's lots of platitudes, man. You know, he was a two-time National High School Player of the Year, All-American Defensive Player of the Year at Ohio State, first overall pick in the 2007 NBA Draft with Portland. So anyway, we go on and on and on. But Greg, how you doing, man? Thanks for being on the show.
I'm good. I appreciate that intro. You got me feeling like the Sway in the Morning intros. I'm gonna be like,
oh. Back in the day.
Hey, I appreciate it. I'm happy to be here with you guys. Yeah.
Let me ask you this, though, man. I mean, not though. How do you, when you look back at your career, you've had some time now to let it percolate and brew. How do you put your career in perspective? I mean, you had an injury and stuff like that. How do you look at your a great college career, injury? You know, your pro career was kind of compromised by injury. How philosophic are you about that? That it was sort of God's way of saying, okay, listen, man, you did this, you do a little bit of this, but now there's a whole lot more for you to do. How do you put your career in perspective?
Well, right now, kind of like what you said, I kind of look at it like basketball really didn't work out for me, but it did get me to some great places. It got me to meet some great people, do great things. But, you know, there's a lot more life left to live for me and my family. And there's so many more things that I can do now. And basketball has given me those opportunities to look at life a different way and seize those opportunities when I can right now.
Mm-hmm. What are they? Tell us, I know you're doing, you're an advisor, athlete advisor to EduCore?
EduCore, EDYOUCORE.
Yeah, tell us about that. What is that?
EduCore is a sports entertainment financial literacy company. Basically, we talk to athlete teams, college athletic programs, and individuals just about the importance of financial literacy and educate these guys, you know, about the importance of, you know, finances. You know, myself being an ex-athlete, you know, I'm one of the perfect guys to be able to talk to these guys about that because I've sat in their shoes before. You know, as you said, I was the number one pick. You know, I was at the best of the best of my game. And as we know, as athletes, you only got a short window. Athletes and entertainers have a short window to make, you know, the crazy amount of money that they do in that short time. And a lot of us don't have a financial education background to be able to handle it or sustain it for a long time. So, you know, myself, you know, there's financial veterans and educators and other pro athletes like Antoine Walker and Bart Scott, who we talk to these athletes, entertainers, and young kids, just empowering them to, you know, make the best decision, you know, have the knowledge to let that money last, you know, that they can make smart decisions for the long run and not short term.
How difficult is that as somebody who's run through money? I would never, and all the critiques that I will write about athletes, I would never write something about somebody screwing up money because it's so easy to do it. I mean, it's so easy to do it, particularly if you're not, you know, as you know, if you're not born in wealth and grow up in wealth. Why is it so difficult? Why is the money, why can that be so difficult?
Well, because it's so easy to come by and so quick to get out your pocket, you know? And as you just said, a lot of us don't have that background or have the people around us, you know, to have that background to advise us to make smart decisions. You know, I love being a part of this, you know, financial education movement, especially with EduCore, the opportunity, because it is helping. And I want to say, like, I remember when I first started working with EduCore and Marshawn Lynch. Remember when he, his final game, he goes, boys got to count your chicken. Boys ain't in the right spot. And I swear that was like shortly after I got with EduCore. And that really made me feel like, you know, I'm really doing the right thing right now, you know, helping out these young athletes. When you see a guy like that doing it, you know, one thing we preach is, you know, having a personal relationship with your financial advisor, with your lawyer, and with your tax guy. And one day I was out to dinner and I look over to this guy, one of the Ohio State football players' dads, and I see him sitting at the table with three other guys, with his lawyer, with his financial advisor, and with his tax guy. And it's just, you know, like little things like that made me really look at it and be like, yes, like I'm actually doing the right thing and trying to educate these guys and even helping myself, you know. During all this lockdown and quarantine, it gave me some time to look at my own finances and, you know, change some things around and make better decisions, you know, get on a good budget with my family, you know, to help, you know, last this money for a long time. Because as we see, for a lot of people, work is, you know, few and far between. So, you know, do everything you can to, you know, prolong your money, grow your money, but be smart with it and educate yourself to, for you to make that decision, not just always put, you know, the financial advisor and you never talk to him for 2 or 3 years and you look up one day and you're like, well, why is this missing? You know, I thought I had this much in the bank account and I only got this much, you know? And that's one thing that I like to talk to the guys about and just give them that empowerment, the importance of knowing these things and you doing your due diligence to, you know, educate yourself about finances.
Well, you know, as an athlete advisor, at EduCore, you're counseling amateurs athletes as well as professional athletes, right? And this is a weird time for amateur athletes with, you know, being asked to play during a pandemic. I'm wondering about why you wanted to, you know, become an advisor, because, you know, you mentioned your, you know, your basketball career. You said basketball didn't really do as much for you as you would have wanted it to, but I mean, your accolades are ridiculous. You were, you know, you were a two-time high school player of the year, the number one draft pick, All-American in Ohio State. And it's interesting that your best years were in college, where you weren't in a time when you couldn't be compensated, for instance. Mm-hmm. You know, how do you go about talking to amateur athletes? You know, what's your advice to them? You know, that those are some of their best years that they're playing, and they're not going to be compensated for. And what kind of leverage can they use to decide whether to play in an atmosphere like this?
When I think about talking to an amateur athlete or a college athlete, for one, I feel like it's my duty to do what I can to give back. I mean, that's helping guys out with basketball. That's doing all I can, giving some knowledge or just some little gems on how, you know, you can do something to better yourself, because I've been through some ups and downs in my life. Now, the financial literacy side, talking to a college athlete, those are guys who really need to know it. You know, a lot of those kids who are on athletic scholarships don't come from financial backgrounds like that. So when they get their college degree, as we know the NCAA gives them, and then just shove them off into the world, you know, a lot of these kids, even myself, was, I don't even know how to write a resume the right way. You know, you get this little template of what to do, but are you doing it for the right job? You know, so to educate these people on, you know, financial literacy at that age, I think is very important, because when you get out in the real world and you're making your own money, these decisions that you want to make at a young age to set yourself up for life, you know, a lot of them are coming from student loans. You know, a lot of these are already coming out of college, you know, backed up, having to pay money. So why not educate these guys on how to take advantage of whatever money you get and put yourself, make the decisions to put yourself in the best possible way to make that money last and to grow your money. I think, you know, the young kids are the perfect group to talk to, especially from somebody like me who, as you said, you know, that was the time when I was at my best game, you know, and it was all about sports, but I didn't hear anything about financial literacy then. You know, it was all basketball. I was lucky enough to be in a situation where, you know, I was good for a while, and now I got to handle myself and figure things out now. But not a lot of people are going to be put in that situation. So to get these kids early is something that I really enjoy doing.
What was your top salary? Your top earning?
My fifth year in Portland, I think I made $8 million that year.
You know, to those of us on the ground, you hear these numbers, you know, it's like, I don't know, what does that check look like? I mean, what does that check look like?
I know it was five. After
tax. right.
But that's still a substantial amount of numbers. Just the average person. That's like a lot of money. You could build a lot of, you could eat a lot of, you know, chicken burgers with that. But how stunned were you when you got your first NBA check? Because I don't know if people, the average person, knows what that check looks like. You know, we get our little check, and what does that check look like, and how did you react to your first check?
Well, there's two different things, because, you know, when I first knew I was going into the draft, you know, we didn't have no money. The draft wasn't till what, June, July?
June.
So, you know, we sitting there working out, and season doesn't start till October. So after I got drafted, you know, we got a credit loan. You know, me and Mike Conley, and the first thing we did was go to Best Buy, you know. Ball out. He had a video game system. I got about 100 DVDs. But, you know, and then that first NBA check, as I said before, you know, I didn't know no better. So, you know, I agreed to go with my advisor out in California, and one thing I did was just send it right to them. You know, I didn't want to have to deal with that check coming in. You know, at a young age, was 19, I wasn't looking at my check stubs and, you know, trying to understand where every dollar was coming in and going out at. You know, I didn't do that at a young age. And that's some of the things I like to talk to the kids about, and that these young men, you know, look at that stuff, understand what money's coming in, what bills you're paying, what's going out, so you can actually put yourself on a good budget so you're not overspending. You know, you look at your account one day and you think you got this much in it, but you really don't, because you're not paying attention.
You mentioned one of the big things is that these kids and young professionals surround themselves with the right people, right? You have so many people coming at you, different agendas and all that. What does that mean? Like, who are the right people? How do you
the white people? Are you saying, Jamal, the white people?
I said the right people.
I just want to make sure I heard you right. Wait. Good. Sorry.
I guess the right people would be people who are adding to your life, people who are educating you on things, people who you trust, people who's not scared to tell you how they see it, and people whose advice you actually appreciate and will consider. People who you can question and they can have answers for you. Those are the type of people you want in your life. But I think the trust part and the educating part is probably the biggest thing to me. Like, I look at it sometimes, like, I remember, you know, having a lot of family around me when I was younger, but was I empowering them to do something for themselves instead of just be around me? You know, was I having my cousin cook for me and growing his skills as a chef? You know, was I having my uncle there, you know, clean up the house and then he gets paid that way? Or was I just sending my brother a check every couple of weeks instead of making him work for something, you know, making him get his grades in high school and then in college before he got paid for me, you know, making them feel empowered to do something for themselves as well? Those are the type of people you want around you. You know, as a basketball player, you want the guy around you to take you to the gym at night, you know, get you out of the club and say, let's go get some extra shots up today.
Right.
You know, let's say, let's chill out today. You know, you got a game tomorrow, you know. And in family, of course, you know, people who make you feel comfortable and bring you back human, you know, because, you know, once you're in that professional eye, you know, everybody looks at you a little bit differently. But who are the people that's going to be there for you and treat you like a normal person and bring you back to center, I always like to put.
How hard is it to find love? I mean, this is a different thing, but because I was wondering about that. I mean, again, people like you, you know, just the average guy, you know, but how difficult is it once you become, you know, like in that environment to like know who, you know, who's, you know, who to hook up with because they love you? Or like, how do you sort through that?
Well, that's tough. A different me would say, go look, go sort them all out.
Right.
At a young age, you know, you got to date around and see who you feel comfortable being around all the time. Who do you enjoy? Who do you like? Who can you do different things with? But, you know, when people are looking at you at a meal ticket, sometimes that's hard to do. You know, people are going to put off their best to you.
Right.
And, you know, you're always, I say, it's hard walking in a room where everybody knows you and you know nobody.
Right.
So do you know if that person is real when they come up to you and you just start off a conversation? Or did they just Google you for the past 15 minutes and then come over there and start a conversation with you? Because right. That happens a lot.
Right.
I feel like, you know, people should date around, you know, enjoy other people's company, you know, figure out what's your likes and dislikes. That's a big thing that I noticed about myself when I retired and I was thinking about what's next in my life. I literally had to sit down and go, what do I like to do? You know, and a lot of people, when you're an athlete, you don't take the time to figure out yourself away from the sport. You know, it was basketball for me from what, sixth grade till I retired in 20. Well, actually, I played in the Big Three last year, but
you still ain't retired. You still chasing it.
You know, it was tough for me to know what I wanted to do next. So when I sat down in my office and tried to figure out, all right, what do I want to pursue? I had no idea. So I would say to a young person, you know, figure out who you are away from your sport. You know,
maybe that's one of the great things of the bubble. and that shit. Them cats had a lot of time to think about what the hell they want to do. So this, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you isolated like that, and you got a lot of time to figure out, damn, is this, what is all this? Is this what I want to do? You know?
Right.
Well, another thing about the bubble, this championship is going to be the hardest one to win because you had everybody's best game, you know? They weren't going out. They weren't partying. They weren't out all night doing stuff, traveling. They were literally basketball, back to the room, film, ball, room, game, you know? Everybody's on their A game. Everybody's concentrating. You know, it's going to be a tough one, but I'm excited to watch it too.
So, you know, a lot of people saying, oh, it's the bubble. It should be an asterisk. Is this – you know, are people going to look back at this and try to discount it? You think that this championship is more real than any other one?
I actually do. I think this is so tough, you know, getting everybody's A game every night. And I know if it was me, I wouldn't care if it was an asterisk or not. Give me my ring.
Right. I hear that. I hear
that. Hey, just one last thing about the financial stuff. Did you sober up a little earlier because you had an injury, I think, your first year? So did that kind of turn the light bulb on maybe a little early that, that wow, you know, this is kind of fragile?
Actually, no. At the time I got injured, I still wasn't thinking about, life after basketball. I was only thinking about coming back to play basketball. Never did I think, you know, that – through all these years, I would only have really 6 years in the league, technically, and only played, 100 games, if that, you know? And, you know, as I said, I didn't have the people around me to tell me, look, you might need to sit down and think about what's next after the second and third surgery. You know, I really wish I did, because it would have got me on the track a long time ago. And that's why I enjoy talking to the guys, you know, especially getting them at a younger age, you know, get them to start thinking about life after basketball. You know, you go to practice at 10 o'clock, you might be done 1:32 at the latest. You know, you can come back at the end of the night, but you got a lot of free time. You know, take advantage of that stuff, you know, figure out what you want to do in life, you know, do other things.
It's interesting, you know, because as Bill was saying, before, you always were a smart guy. Like, you're always above average intelligence. And even you didn't think about it even after an injury. So, you know, for the average guy, it must be even tougher. Like, what has to change in order for people to start thinking more critically about their own well-being in the long term?
Well, you need people to talk to them about it. You need people to educate them about that. You need people... You know, that's what I'm trying to do in the forefront, you know, talk to young kids and you know, let them know, like, there's life after your sport, you know. It can't just be sports all day, every day, because, you know, a lot of us know that, you know, sports is only a short period, short part of your life. You know, you got to live life, you got to enjoy life as much as you can, especially away from that sport. And, you know, it is tough. But, you know, trying to be one of these guys that keep on talking to these guys, keep on pushing it, putting it in their head. Like, you know, what do you like to do? You know, what makes you happy away from the game? You know, pursue that. Educate yourself on that. You know, and while you're making this amount of money, you have the money to put, you know, to put in these different adventures that you want to go to, or businesses or real estate that you want to pursue. So do that while you can, because believe me, it's tougher to, as I say, it's tougher to get in the rooms when you're not on the court, you know, anymore. You know, every day you're on the court, you got millionaires, sometimes billionaires, you got CEOs, everybody sitting there, you know, sidelines. They want to see you. They're here to see you. Go shake their hand. Go say hello. Go ask them a question after the game. You know, get a meeting with them, because when you're done playing, it's definitely tough to get it, open those doors.
Did you have one of those moments when you retire and you realize that, like, you know, doors you thought would always be open were kind of harder to open?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I mean, you know, I live in Ohio. You know, if you lived in L.A., it might be a little bit easier because that's, you know, where people are. That's where a lot of things, a lot of businesses are done. But I remember playing in the Big Three last year. I promise you, after every game, I shook Ice Cube's hand. And I told him, thank you for the opportunity. You know, just little things like that. You know, one thing that I haven't learned, well, I'm still learning, that I was not good at was networking. Mm-hmm. You know, you would go to these events and I would just say hi, you know, people would want to talk and then I would keep it moving. But, you know, to build those relationships, to reach out to somebody that you met before, look at their card and just send them a text, you know, say, how are you doing? You know, ask them a couple of questions and then keep it moving. You know, just to keep that relationship going is something that we all need to do. And you never know what doors are going to open up later in life. So that's something that I'm definitely trying to do these days. But, you know, nobody really teaches you how to network, you know?
Right.
You just got to be that type of person to understand it. But, you know, coming up, I never was. So these are also other things that come along with, you know, I think financial education, because you never know what business opportunity is going to come from somebody you just met and just walked by, or somebody you was sitting by on a plane, you know?
Well, you're supposed to have your own plane. You're supposed to have your own jet. I do want to talk some ball with you. We talked a little bit about the bubble. You thought the caliber of play is pretty high because all people are doing is basically what you did when you first started playing. This is basically what it's like when you first started playing. Mm-hmm. The gym, everybody played same rim, same gym. You know, you didn't have a lot of fans around. It was basically about ball. Do you think that, because I'm interested to hear guys like you talk about the quality of it. I'm frankly really impressed between the Black Lives Matter stuff, athletes really not being afraid. Maybe that's my question for you. In your generation, it seemed like Michael Jordan kind of set the tone for neutrality. You know, don't say anything, just keep your mouth shut, play ball. Seems like that's changed. Maybe with, I don't know, whether it's LeBron or other people. Do you think there's been a shift in guys kind of being a little more open to, like, you know, saying stuff? Or do you think by definition, most people are just kind of reticent?
Well, it's definitely been a shift. I mean, guys like LeBron, the Malcolm Brogdons, the Jaylen Browns, you know, they're very outspoken, and the Chris Pauls, you know, they really care about our community. And, you know, as you said, you know, the guys, or the Michael Jordan back in the day, really didn't let his political views be known like that. But guys these days, you know, it's such a, they always say the far right and the radical left, you know, but it's so far that, you know, even speaking on little things like Black Lives Matter, you know, it gets so politicized, but it's something that needs to be said. I mean, you walk outside these days and everybody's protesting. I've been down there a couple of times. My wife's been down there a few times, you know, and just trying to let our voices be heard, you know. I guess I got a little girl and I want this world to be better for her. You know, as you said, Brian got kids. You know, a lot of these guys got kids and they want to see a better world. And they're tired of, you know, the old thing, you know, it's going to come. It's going to come. Wait, it's going to come. When? You know? Speak up. You know, you said that to my great-great-grandparents. You said that to my great-grandparents. You said that to my grandmother. You know, you said that to my parents, you know. And these athletes, they have the opportunity and, you know, they have the eyes to say something and, you know, just reach out to one person, change one person's mind or view, you know, and let them know what we stand for. And I commend them for that. I mean, it is a great thing. You know, the WNBA is doing a great job at that as well. They've always been on the forefront of that. And, you know, just to see the NBA, WNBA, and all these athletes, you know, take that power, you know, and let people understand where they're coming from and the pain of, you know, the Black community, Black and brown communities, is something that, you know, I just commend.
How big a difference do you think athletes can make by speaking the way they are, by leveraging their power within their different leagues? Like, how do you think they can make a huge difference?
I think so. I mean, I think what the Milwaukee Bucks did was big. You know, everybody came to the bubble for a reason, and they understood, you know, the stuff that happened before that, look, we're going to play, but we're going to take advantage of this moment of the cameras to shine a light on all these things we want to say. And for them to even after everybody agreed on this thing to say, look, man, we're not playing. We're tired of this stuff happening. We need to see some change, you know, get all these NBA owners to use their arenas as voting places, you know, in these cities that we know are going to have voter suppression. I mean, just last night on debate, I keep on saying a lot of people went by it, but he was like, no, I need my people to stay at the voting polls.
Right, watch.
I was like, wait, you mean when they go to the voting polls with guns and intimidate people?
Right, exactly.
Said that normally, and I'm like, are you kidding me right now? So right. To have, you know, these arenas, you know, to make sure that the commercials are on, to give the importance of voting and other things, I think they do have the power, you know, and to make that money and put that money in these organizations that are making changes, that are helping our people. I think that's something that a lot of these guys are doing that we really don't talk about too. You know, a lot of these guys taking, you know, their checks from the bubble and donating them to these organizations that are helping out a lot. That's the quiet part that people don't really see. You just see, oh, they're talking about voting every other commercial, you know, but a lot of this money is going to be donated to these organizations that are helping.
I even saw where I think it was LeBron, because, you know, Florida did the old okey-doke. They said, well, felons can only vote until they got to pay fines. And I think it was LeBron or someone who actually paid fines.
You know, from people. Fines. What's the
Bloomberg.
Yeah. I mean, but that's the thing that, you know, I heard about that as well. You know, he's talking about all his judges, but, you know, that bill was as good as done until his judges came in and stopped it, you know, to let these, you know, ex-felons who served their time actually get back into the life and vote, and you let their voice be heard. And, you know, these judges that they put in place is not here for us, you know. So
right.
We got to go vote. We got to do everything we need to do to at least help some of these people.
Yeah. I mean, it's such a deep, I always thought that, I mean, I look at all this stuff as evolution, you know, like there's no one generation, go back to your great-grandfather, you know, there's no, in other words, you basically, it's like a relay race. You know, your great-great-grandfather runs as hard as he can run, then hands it to his son, who hands it to you, and now, you know, hands it to you. Now you got, you know, it's never over. It's never going to be over. I think you were saying, well, they told this to my father, and then they told me, when is it going to be over? Well, to me, it ain't never going to be over. You've got to be just as committed to right as they are to stopping you. You know, it's got to be, we'll be here forever. I mean, that has always been the attitude. You know what? This year will never be over. You know, as long as, you know.
You're right, but then I would throw in the context, well, we won't be here forever if we don't get this climate change together.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
That's very true.
That's true. Well, it got to be real, though. I mean, I think to a lot of folks, you know, you're trying to, like, deal with what's in front of you, and you don't realize that climate change could eventually eradicate everybody. But that's not front thing. You're trying to put groceries on the table. You're trying to get the police to stop, you know, shooting you. You know, there's so many other things that are immediate that the stuff that could eventually suffocate you, maybe you don't pay as much attention to. You know, the fact we'll all be underwater.
Yeah, I mean, when I say that, that's why I live in Ohio. I'm in the middle of the country, you know, Florida, California. When I saw New York underwater a few years ago, I was like, oh, man.
That's right. Hey, Greg, just for, now you talk about your family a lot. Tell about your family. Who's your?
Me and my wife just celebrated our third anniversary.
Great. Congratulations.
September 16th, and my daughter turned 4 September 19th.
Oh, okay. Good Virgo. I'm September 2nd, so she's got lots of promise. Yeah.
What else have you been up to besides the EduCorps? And I know you were at, weren't you? You went back to Ohio State last year, and we're assistant coaching for the basketball team. Is that correct?
That wasn't last year.
2 years ago?
While I was finishing my degree, I graduated last year. So while I was finishing my degree, I was a student manager the first 2 years, and then I was a student coach the last two. And I enjoyed that. It kind of got me the coaching bug. So, You know, I know we're all, you know, shut down right now, but the plan is to go into coaching next summer.
Nice.
Which, well, I can still do my financial literacy stuff with EduCorps as well. But right now, honestly, I've been trying to pick up the slack with baby girl because, you know, when school shut down, yeah, she still has all the energy. She's still up at 7 a.m. ready to go all day. And my wife's in nursing school. And she, you know, on the side makes a bunch of cakes for here in the city for like birthday cakes, any type of cake, Lolo's Cake House, shout that out. Mm-hmm. And she has a mobile bar called the Private Mixer here in Ohio. So she got two businesses that she's doing, and maybe one day she'll let me guest bartend for her mobile bar. So I'm the hustle, I'm the mover. But to help her out while she's in the thick of nursing school as well is, I'm enjoying this time with my daughter, honestly. You know, I'm doing the EduCorps things when I can, because it's just not a lot of stuff to do right now. But, you know, helping out the family is where I've been at right now. And, you know, planning on getting into coaching, you know, getting my basketball philosophy, getting my mind right on what I would like to see and how I can help, you know, a kid become the best ball player in person that they can possibly be.
And what level coaching are you thinking of? College, NBA, high school?
College, high school. Mm-hmm. You know, the plan is till next summer, help out at a high school here. Mm-hmm. But, you know, figuring out when the games are right now, it's still up and down. You know, every school gets to decide on themselves here in Ohio right now if they're going to play and how they're going to go about the season. So, but, you know, the goal will always be to coach in the NBA. But I do enjoy, you know, talking to a young kid, being to, you know, change a young kid's mind to think better and make better decisions at a young age.
How surprised were you that here that Doc Rivers got fired?
I was actually very surprised. You know, he made that program into a winning program. You know, definitely changed it around. Playoffs all these years, which wasn't something the Clippers did before he got there.
Right.
And I don't know, it was so quick that I don't really know what to say, you know? It was kind of like, wait, Doc got fired?
Right.
And it's wild. It's wild. There's no, it just shows you how ruthless professional sports is. Like, there is no excuse. I don't care if there's a pandemic or whatever. You don't get it done in the playoffs, yep. You get axed.
Exactly, you know? And, you know, we, as you said, it's ruthless in sports. And it's funny because, you know, the owners and the people making those decisions don't get the backlash. But, you know, when Bron leaves and goes to Miami and wins two championships, and in his post-game speech, you know, he says, this was the hardest thing I ever did. You know, I'm from Akron. I'm basically from the Cleveland area. For me to leave home, you know, it was the most uncomfortable thing I've ever did. And I needed that to get this championship. You know, how mad they were at him for making the decision for himself.
Right.
You know, but, you know, as a player, when you just get let go, because I remember I was actually doing some research about myself, you know, just working on some things. And I was reading this article and it brought me back to when I was released by Portland. And I promise you, I read it. And this was like earlier this week. And I got that hole in my chest like that day when I got the phone call, you know, thinking about that, you know, just all the work that they put into me, into the rehab, and then to get released that year, you know, it hurt, you know, and you can't do anything about that. But, you know, when LeBron makes the decision for himself, what's best for him and his family, you know, people are giving backlashes, burning his jersey, like he paid for him. Like, you pay for that jersey, don't burn it.
Yeah, along those same lines, like looking at your career, you know, I followed you, you know, end of high school into college. And then remember 2007 draft, obviously you had Kevin Durant, number two. I always, at the time, it was a no-brainer to me that you should be the number one pick. I mean, just your size, athleticism, you know, size matters in basketball. But, you know, now in retrospect, people tend to almost forget that you got, that you had these three major injuries, and they'll say, oh, he was a bust or whatever. I'm like, bust? He didn't even get a chance to play. So how, like, how do you, you know, what do you think about that when you look, when you look back, and also going towards the ruthlessness of sports and the fans also?
Yeah. You know, I used to make this joke, you know, like, what KD's doing, well, damn, I am a bust when you compare it like that.
Well, you know, but you didn't have a shot.
Yeah, but, you know, KD's great. I mean, he's just a great, probably go down top 10 all-time player ever. Right. But if you want to bring negativity towards me and call me a bust, that's on you. Look, I look at it, I had some bad injuries. I never got the opportunity or the time on the court to show exactly what I could do. And when I did, I think I was getting, you know, to a place where I could be a pretty decent player in the league. I'm not going to call myself a bust no more. You know, it was just a bunch of injuries and unfortunate. And I'm not trying to put that negativity in my life anymore. You know, I love basketball. I'm so thankful for my opportunity. I wish I could have played more myself, but it just didn't work out that way. But as we said at the beginning of this call, you know, I think I'm right where I'm supposed to be to do some pretty good things and to impact a lot of people in life. And that's my plan.
Hey, Greg, last thing for me, let's talk about, you know, the bubble and the playoffs. I mean, this is still exciting. I mean, no matter, it's just exciting. And I personally, the way these guys are competing, to me, is, you know, it cannot be easy. You know, it can't be easy. Just some of your thoughts about being all these guys being, and women being in this confined space. Do you ever think about, damn, could I do that? You know, what would I do if I was there? And do you think this brand, this level of basketball is better?
I mean, I'm not going to go and say it's better, because I know a lot of these ladies and men would love to be around their families and love to be able to stay home and then go play games. It will be tough, but shoot, I've did it before. You know, this is basically a drawn out, exaggerated, magnified basketball camp that we've all been to when we were younger.
Right.
You know, so, but these guys, you know, at this age are way more disciplined. Ladies as well. Shout out to the Aces that just made it to the finals. I'm a big Aces fan, actually. But I think, you know, basketball, I can't do no more. I can't run up and down the court. That's just not anymore. Right. But to have that discipline and to be around, you know, your brothers, you know, the coaches that you trust, you know, the staff that you come very fond of, to be around these people all going towards one goal, I think this journey is something that's going to be amazing for a lot of people, whoever the champions are and the people who participated in and, you know, as I said earlier, you know, taking advantage and you know, donating some of this money, some of your salary to these organizations to help people out in this world, you know, to bring attention, everything that they're doing in these bubbles, I think it's a plus when it's all said and done for everyone involved.
Who do you like in the finals?
You know, I was on the Miami Heat. But I did play with the greatest basketball player ever. So it's hard to go against him, but that is my ex-team. So I'm kind of thrown. I really love how Spo coaches that team. That coaching staff is amazing and how well they play together. I was saying this about 4 weeks ago that Miami's playing the best team basketball. And that's going to be tough, you know. That zone, when Bron used to get to the lane, you know, that zone is clicking and he can't get to the basket. Those guys aren't hitting. It's going to be tough. But, you know, it is very tough to go against the king.
So what you got? It sounds like you're saying
I know, Lakers, he's saying a lot.
It sounded like Lakers in seven. That's what I'm hearing. I'm hearing like Lakers in seven.
It sounded like I was giving y'all the runaround.
We're going to do dribble and shoot. You know, what?
But you know what? I'm going Lakers in seven.
All right. Well, hey, this has been the great Greg Oden. Pearls of wisdom. Man, it's great seeing you, man. You look great. You sound great. Seem like you're in really great spirits. You know, sorry about the water heater, but right. The perils of home ownership.
You get a house, everything's always broke. They don't show you that on the wall.
I hear that.
But I do want to just tell the listeners, like, you know, if you want to learn more about EduCore, you can go to EduCore.com. That's EDYOUCORE.com. Or you can follow EduCore on Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. They're doing great work. I'm so happy and proud to be a part of EduCore and just to help people, you know, in this financial literacy, you know, just empower themselves and educate them about finances and, you know, how to be better and let that money last.
Yeah, I wish they could start in high school. I wish right. I would have had something like that when I was a freshman in high school.
Right.
Like, this is money. This is what, you know. But
yeah, or AAU programs should start there.
I said, this is money and give me half of it for taxes.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. That idea is good. That's a whole nother story. Hey, but hey, Greg, thank you so much, man. Best of luck. Best of luck with EduCore. I hope everybody follows it. I hope a lot of these mothers and fathers who've got these, you know, check it out because it is very, very important.
Well, thank you guys for having me. I really do appreciate it. And I hope you all are safe and healthy as can be to you and your families. And thank you.
All right, man.
Really appreciate it.
Take care, Greg. Talk to you soon.
All right, fellas.
All right. That was a great Greg Oden. Great interview, you know. He's always been a nice guy. You know, always,
great guy.
He's always very fun to talk to. And, you know, you could tell, even in college, man, Kev was just very... very intelligent guy and great sense of humor. I don't think he was a bust. I mean, you know, I mean, it's all relative in terms right. of.
Yeah, I just don't think you can't call a guy a bust if he never. It would be one thing if he was healthy and he played seven terrible years and was like cut, you know, but he never, you know, from before he played his first game, he had a microfracture. He had a microfracture surgery, I think, in his right knee. Then 2 years later, he has microfracture surgery in his left knee. And then again, I think he had three microfracture surgeries. Remember those microfracture surgeries? That's what Amari Stoudemire had that. He never was the same.
And that's what Grant Hill had.
Yeah, Grant Hill. You know, yeah, so.
Yeah. So, all right, man, before we close up, what do we got? What are our quick hits? You want to talk about the debate, which I didn't watch.
I mean, you were very smart not watching it. Because like I was telling you, like I can be a political junkie. So I do, you know, I always like to watch the debates and usually I enjoy them no matter what, almost. I like, you know, I like the whole thing of it. But this time, I mean, I'm watching it towards the end. I mean, Trump was just too much. It was just like a Trump press conference where he just keeps spewing nonsense and he was interrupting and fighting with the moderator, Chris Wallace.
Wallace.
He couldn't control him. He was too nice.
Who was surprised?
Trying to be too nice to him.
Yeah, who was surprised? I mean, that's the whole, it's this whole 4 years. Is it, man, all the shit that you thought was normal, the fighting, the gentleman fighting, the shaking at the middle of the hand, all that's out, man. That's everything you thought about competition and what's dirty. This is taking dirty, I mean, that's the norm. Any shit that you could imagine that's awful is what's the norm. The
it
worst
is.
Shit that you could imagine.
It really is. It really
and
is.
You can't, it's, I mean, in terms of debate, now you knew he was going to turn this shit into like a rally, you know? So that's why I said so. And I think by this time, man, you said debate, everybody has pretty much made up their mind. I mean,
right.
everybody's
right.
made up their mind. It's just, right. does this guy use the power of his office to steal this shit? He's gonna let you know that's what I intend to do.
And he said it in the quote unquote debate. Like you said, he mentioned what he's trying to do. That's the only thing, the only good thing about the debate, I guess, is just to let him keep talking. And, you know, if he, cause he's never gonna say anything productive that actually makes sense. So you give, I guess, the people who somehow don't get it, that this guy is, you know, he's a complete fraud. If you don't, you know, maybe they won't. But I mean, that's the only thing I can say. Just let him keep, you know, digging himself a hole and see, and hopefully it's too big a hole for him to cheat his way out of at the end, hopefully. Well, we shall see.
Yeah, we shall see.
I mean, the big thing of the debate is the TV aspect of it, the ratings. Because it always strikes me, it's like the Super Bowl. Like, they promote this thing like it's not like it's not as important as it is. It's like it's almost the same way you would report, you know, you would talk about the Super Bowl or the NBA Finals. It's like, the music in the background.
This is about ratings. I'm sure that ratings sky high.
Right.
So, I mean, that's just the dilemma of it. You write a book about this guy, whatever. It's going to be a bestseller.
Right.
You know, if you could get his attention for him to, like, tell how awful you are. Yeah, tweet about it, you know. Back in the real world of football, at least it's football, at least that's somewhat real. With betting, I think that might be next. Sports might be the next thing to start getting compromised.
Well, here's an interesting betting topic. In our Bet Online ads that we run sometimes, I had mentioned that you could bet whether NFL coaches would be fined, whether any NFL coach would be fined for not wearing a mask. That turned out to be true. You should have bet on that. And then the other bet that was interesting to me that had wild odds was there was a bet, will the NFL have to cancel a game this year? And it was like so wildly in favor of no. Like it was like plus 900. Like, so if you bet 100 that they would cancel a game and they did, you would get 900 back. Okay. That's how the odds were balanced. And look where we are. You should have made that bet because they were already postponing Sunday's game between Tennessee and Pittsburgh because Tennessee has 9 either players or staff members that have tested positive.
Yeah. I mean, the bubble really is the only way to do it. It's the only way to do this stuff, man. You know, because once people leave the ballpark and you have no control of what do you think these guys are doing? I mean, realistically, you think particularly in baseball or probably football too. I mean, what do you think they're doing?
They're going out. In fact, there were reports that, a couple of Las Vegas players, David Carr, the quarterback, some other guys, you know, went somewhere in Las Vegas that was, you know, they weren't supposed to be even in terms of the state regulations and state ordinances that they, you know, they were at some gathering they weren't supposed to be at. So, and you think that's not going on with every team? That's why I was shocked that this is the first news that we get of mass COVID positives. And in a way, I'm happy that to know that they are testing guys and that they are disclosing issues where there are positives.
I'm just staying home, man. What does Steve Wilson say? He's still in phase one.
Right.
I'm still in phase one. NBA finals begin tonight. Who do you like in the finals? What's your none of this game to game stuff? Who do you like in the finals?
I'm going
with LA.
Yeah, my official is LA. In 7, because I think LeBron will get it done in the end. But I think this is a tough series that really is a toss-up. I think Miami and LA have the same record. I think they're both like 14-3 or 12-3 or something like that in the playoffs. But Miami's probably played the tougher schedule. They played the better teams on the road to get here. So I think a lot of people are sleeping on Miami. I think it's basically a toss-up series, but officially, I'm going to go Lakers in 7, but I also had the Bucks in 7, and I had the Celtics in 7.
So. Right, so don't trust you. Miami's tough. Miami's tough. You know, Jimmy Butler. The best thing about Jimmy Butler is that he introduced us to a really great R&B song on that commercial, that Ultra Light beer commercial.
Uh-huh.
That song. Uh-huh. A lot of people reference that song. It's called Take This Love of Mine, or I would give something like that. It was like this cool R&B song that came out in 1964. And a lot of people, I got to the page, a lot of people, man, I heard this song on a beer commercial. And I like it. It was a really great tune. So thank you, Jimmy Butler, for that.
I got to go back and watch that. I didn't peep that.
Yeah, no, check out the night. It'll show. It's a great tune. Doom, doom, doom. Anyway. All right, man. Well, listen, Jamal, enjoy the game. Wednesday, enjoy the playoffs. Any thoughts about the NFL early on? I'm on the Cam Newton watch.
Yeah, I'm on the Cam Newton watch. I see good things in New England. Like I said,
who would have thought we said that?
Yeah, who would have thought we said that? Who would have thought I'd be rooting for New England to have a great season? But I see it happening. The other big news from the past week was, of course, Mahomes. He kept it rolling, and he dominated the Ravens. And
oh my God!
Thoroughly outplayed Lamar Jackson, last year's MVP, who I still love. I just think, you know, they gotta open it up for Lamar. I mean, he's already shown he's improved. He's improved as a passer. He can pass the rock. They're still just ground and pound, and then, you know, get the third down, try to have him run for a first down. Just open it up for him. He's a talented guy. Let him do it. Let him show all his skills. That's what I'm saying to Baltimore. All right.
Well, just hopefully passing is one of them. but yeah, because you know all the secret now, get ahead of ball, get ahead of, jump on him early, right, and make him try to beat you from behind.
Right.
You know, and that's what he's going. And also, I think I wonder if Mahomes is in his head. Just like I wonder Russell Wilson is in Dak Prescott's. I mean, you know, like you just can't beat these guys, you know.
Right. Makes sense. So, yeah. You know, they keep asking Lamar Jackson about Mahomes. I don't see how he's not in his head. You know, and even
he gotta be.
Yeah, he even says, "I don't want to talk about Mahomes." He doesn't.
He's like,
I don't want to talk about it. He's the last person I want to hear. So. But he's in the AFC with you for the foreseeable future. So
that's right. So you might as well find a way to beat him or get traded to the NFC or something. Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
You know, enjoy the rest of the week, and all our millions of listeners. Thank you guys for listening. What's your spiel, Jamal? About this supposed to?
Yeah, listeners, rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast at Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcast. And definitely hit us up on social media at BrosPod on Instagram and Twitter.
All right. And we'll see everybody here. We'll hear us next week. Everybody stay safe. God bless.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.